In the name of God, our Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who moves through us. Amen. In the 1900s, Robert Frost penned the poem Mending Wall, from which we get the popular saying, good fences make good neighbors. The poem speaks of a time when, after the harshness of winter, the stones of a dividing property line are overturned, so that Frost and his neighbor must walk the fence line together, deciding where the property line should be redrawn. Frost's neighbor is quoted as saying, good fences make good neighbors. In the entirety of the poem, Frost actually pushes back a little bit. Frost says, spring is the mischief in me, and I wonder if I could put a notion in his head. Why do they make good neighbors? Isn't it where there are cows, but here there are no cows? Before I build a wall, I'd like to ask, what was I walling in or walling out? And to whom was I like to give offense? Now, whether you agree with Frost or his neighbor, I would argue that good fences or good doors or good boundaries, for that matter, are that which help us to keep harmful intruders out while still being open and permeable enough to let some good in, to let that which is good and gives us life and is helpful to us come through. This week was one of boundaries and discernment in my own soul over where fences and doors into my spirit might be drawn. There were all sorts of distractions, and at times, many intruders coming into the land of my soul. Good weather, a spur-of-the-moment camping trip because of good weather, commitments with friends, the regular to-do list, phone calls, emails, a non-working computer, expectations of others, self-doubt which creeped in and said, Amanda, you can't preach today because the scriptures are on forgiveness and you're a little bit angry right now, or you're a little bit judgmental, and Jesus speaks to Simon about his judgmentalness. The act of writing this sermon was one of constantly drawing fence lines, trying to keep open gates of letting goodness in, and trying to keep out the harm of those things which were trying to kill my spirit. This morning, I thought it was a battle reminiscent of the 1990s Christmas classic Home Alone, the story of a young Kevin McAllister, played by Macaulay Culkin, who through a series of misfortunate events and hilarious mishaps is left home alone while his family travels to Paris for vacation. And left on his own, he has to defend his safety against Terry and Marv, the two neighborhood burglars. And he does so through a series of intricate booby traps and creative ideas. And he manages somehow to keep the house intact and safe, fending off burglars and keeping doors closed, keeping his boundaries and doors and fences defended. Yet at the same time, young Kevin somehow remains to be open. His heart is open to life lessons, and while he's trying to draw boundaries with Harry and Marv, Kevin's soul is somehow still permeable to letting old man Marley in. You remember old man Marley, the rumored and scary neighbor who was believed to have killed his family with a snow shovel. And in church, of all places, young Kevin meets Marley, where through conversation he realizes that Marley is really a kind man who is just estranged from his family and who really desires reconciliation and forgiveness. and who is able to teach young Kevin some important lessons about the way he views his own family. It is both by protecting himself from the harm of the burglars and letting the lessons of old Marley in that Kevin is able to grow during the plot of the movie. Today's lessons today illustrate both this need for being able to draw a line, to put up a fence and a boundary when we need to stand up to that which might kill us or keep God out, and to let that which gives us life in. In our first reading today, we read about Naboth's desire to defend his land, that which gave life to Naboth and his family, and about how Naboth drew a strong boundary, telling King Ahab, "No, you cannot have my land." And when King Ahab tromps over to Naboth, suggesting that he give him his vineyard to become a vegetable garden, Naboth strongly says, "No, the Lord forbids that I should give you my ancestral heritage." Land for Naboth was his lifeline, the thing which would have reminded him of God. And in Naboth's day, it was the custom that every 50th year, during the year of Jubilee, families would return to their ancestral land. They would forgive the debt of anyone living on the land. So if there were renters or tenant farmers or back taxes or back rent, their debt would be forgiven. And during that year, Naboth's family would live there together in homecoming, and they wouldn't plant or farm or cultivate, but they would trust that God would provide from them from the land directly. They would have no income, and they would be reminded of God's goodness, love, and forgiveness, and the importance of community and family. The land was Ahab's lifeline to God, to Naboth's lifeline to God. So when Ahab asked for it, Naboth says no. I think in our lives, there will always be those intruders and people in our lives which try to kill our lifeline towards God, that try to separate us from God's promise of forgiveness and love and life. Maybe those are long working hours or demanding bosses or our own unrealistic self-expectations or to-do lists or people who constantly overstep their boundaries into our lives. But we must learn, like Naboth, to draw a line, to put up a fence between that which will destroy and harm us and the goodness of God. We could liken it to our own Bill of Rights, like our country's Bill of Rights, which protects our ability against such things as being able to speak freely, to assemble, to protect our property, and the right to fair trials. It's appropriate that we set boundaries which enable us to be safe and to grow in God's love, to be treated with respect and to not take responsibility for someone else's problems, the right to get angry and to say no and to make mistakes and to have our own feelings and opinions and convictions, and the right to change our mind or decide a different course of action or negotiate for change or ask for support or to protest unfair treatment or criticism. These are all good boundaries for us. Doors which we can close, fences which we can put up, so that we can experience the life God intends us to live. These are some of the intruders that we meet on the road, on our fence line. But we also meet intruders like the woman in today's gospel, the woman at the dinner with Simon and Jesus. These intruders' goal is not to take life away from us, but to give us life. And I've been faced with plenty of these this week, too. Harsh but loving friends who gave me unsolicited advice. and others who have given me hard words. In our gospel lesson for today, we read about a woman who was known as the town sinner. We don't know what her particular sin is, but our imagination doesn't have to wander too far to think about what kind of person she might have been. And during dinner, Jesus, who is having a really nice dinner with some important religious leaders, during this dinner, this woman just sort of wanders in, unwelcomed. Simon believes she's an intruder. How could she just show up? But unlike Ahab and Jezebel, she's not trying to take anything that doesn't belong to her. Instead, she is giving of herself. She tells us how to offer gifts of ourself. She anoints Jesus' feet with oil. She gives her soul. She cries tears of vulnerability. Simon sees her as an unwelcomed intruder, when in fact she has powerful lessons to teach us about forgiveness and love and about how to respond to God in thankfulness. These are the kind of unwanted intruders that we want to come through the fences, that we need to leave our gates and doors open to, that we should welcome in to teach us lessons about how to give and be thankful, about God's forgiveness and how to worship. So my prayer for us today is that we figure out with discernment how both to draw boundaries, which help us to live fully the life that God has given us, and how we discern when to open our gates and doors to those who have life lessons to teach us about our relationship with God. The famous Serenity Prayer says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. My prayer for us today may be this. God, grant me the serenity to say no to intruders who try to kill our souls, and the courage to say yes to those who come into our lives to remind us how to live, and the wisdom to know the difference. So may we continue to walk with God down the fence row, working with God to repair and mend a fence, questioning where our boundaries need to be. And may God give us the grace not to place our fences in such a position that will benefit our own will, like Ahab and Jezebel, but in a place that will be open to bring forgiveness and healing to the world, like the woman at Simon's house.